Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Grecian's Gossip. I'm joined by Jamie Hawkins. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Stu.
And a special guest, Andrew Barge. Hi, Bargie.
Hi, mate. You're right.
Yeah, very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show. We're going to look back at Fulham first. Played at Fulham on Tuesday night, of course, in the Carabao Cup second round. You're up at Craven Cottage. What did you make of the game?
It was an entertaining game, I think, just from the defeat, obviously, as it was disappointing to concede two early goals in each half,
yeah.
But really, I think probably on the night, Fulham did deserve it. They definitely had the better quality, certainly in front of goal as well. And I think that was the one disappointing thing for me from an Exeter City perspective, is that we never really tested them defensively. And although I thought we looked pretty solid ourselves defensively and in midfield, quite tidy, and that final third, final ball was missing.
Yeah, was that how you saw it as well, Jamie?
Yeah, I think you could tell from the first sort of 5-10 minutes just how difference in terms of quality the Premier League and League Two. I mean, the pace of Ryan Sessegnon and Kamara on both wings was just so lethal every time they went on the break. It was just blinking, you miss them, you know. It was frightening how quick they were. But, you know, as the game went on, I thought City grew into it. They sort of settled down after conceding the first goal. And, you know, obviously they had a couple of chances with Matt Jay hitting the post. It was a great effort, wasn't it? Which is pretty unlucky not to have crept in. But, you know, unfortunately undone by conceding at the start of each half, which is probably the worst thing to do, because what Matt Taylor would have said at half-time would, you know, gone to waste, I suppose.
Especially as he'd made that change as well, bringing on Hiram at half time. You know, he probably had a bit of a game plan and to give it a bit of a go. But as you say, you know, 4 minutes in again and we're 2-0 down.
Yeah, and it was a poor goal, really. I'd see it again from what we saw in real time. But it looked like he had so much space and time to, you know, pick a spot and slot a pass Christy Pym, which was obviously disappointing. But, you know, they gave it a go. Obviously, the fans were urging them on. They just wanted to see a goal. And, you know, disappointed, obviously, not to have a shot on target in the end. Only 3 shots in the whole game, I think. But, you know, I thought they gave everything. You know, a few eyebrows were raised, I think, amongst ourselves as well as the fans. You know, 8 changes. It's a lot of changes. I know it was a quick turnaround, but you would have thought he'd have kept continuity, but you know, the back four played pretty well, given it was a completely new back four, really, with debuts for Jimmy Oates and O'Shea, and they both started a little, you know, sloppy. Obviously, it was their first games coming up against a quality opposition, but I thought they grew into it well and played pretty well, and I think it's given Matt Taylor a few selection headaches for Saturday.
Yeah, one thing that Jamie and I were speaking about, Bargie, was we were just disappointed in the second half that Jaden didn't come on. You know, Matt Taylor was the third substitution. We would like to have seen Jaden come on for the last 20 minutes and, you know, really have a bit of a go at Fulham. I guess, really, Matt's just wrapping him up in cotton wool and looking at the bigger picture and linking on Saturday.
No, I think you're absolutely right, and I said that in commentary as well, that we needed somebody for the ball to stick up front, because it just wasn't sticking at all. And, you know, it's a disappointing performance, I thought, from Abrahams and from Matt Jay as well. And I think Jaden in the second half could have changed things a little bit and could have helped to bring other players into play in that as well, and get the midfield closer to the strikers as well, because there did seem to be big gaps in between which we weren't really filling. And I think that was a disappointment in terms of trying to get something out of the game, but I think probably, like you say, Matt was looking at the bigger picture and thinking about Saturday. And, you know, Jaden's a key man for us this season, as he was last season, so why waste him in a game where you're probably at that point 2-0 down?
Yeah.
You're not going to get something from it.
And if he picks up an injury, of course, then,
exactly, you know, particularly with Jonathan Fort being out at the moment.
Yeah.
I think it is an area where we are struggling a little bit, to be honest. And, you know, you do wonder, if those two aren't fit and available, where are the goals going to come from?
Yeah, well, we're going to look at that in later on in the podcast. We're going to have a chat about the transfer window, which obviously shuts, or the loan window that shuts on Friday. all in all, though, summarising the game, it was a great occasion, wasn't it? You know, I mean, Craven Cottage is such a fantastic stadium. I think the City fans loved their first, well, I say first trip, their first trip up there since the mid-90s. In fine voice, especially in the second half. I mean, that's one of the great things that we have being in the press box, is being able to look across and seeing those City fans. And when you've got nearly 1,500 singing that song for Stano, it really is a great sight, isn't it?
Yeah, we've heard it many times over the years, of course. And, you know, if you were just tuning in, if you could hear all commentary or at the game, you wouldn't have thought City were losing 2-0 down and going out of the cup. It was just a great occasion, I think. Know, just under 1,500 there, making the trip up to London, or a few would have, you know, perhaps stayed there already. But they're just singing their hearts out throughout the game. And Matt Taylor obviously was quick to praise them after the game, as he has done this season, saying that they're on, you know, a different level, and, you know, the players sort of feeded off that in a way and urged them forward. And like we said, it's just a shame that they didn't have a goal to celebrate. Yeah, yeah, but overall, you know, I think they just enjoyed the night out. It was a lovely evening in London, wasn't it? Nice summer's evening.
Good curry.
Yeah, great curry.
Good curry in the press box.
They treated
us
well, didn't they?
Yeah, very.
This week's. Yeah, it was a cracking ground. Like I said, I've always wanted to go there, and it's just really, really nice.
Yeah, it's not like one of these new stadiums as well, is it? Like the big bowl with all the great facilities and stuff. It's a proper old school ground with that, you know, closeness to the pitch.
Kind of almost being in the press box took me back to the old grandstand.
Yeah, yeah.
Part, you know, the old wooden seats and the poles
the
in the way.
In the way. But,
yeah, just great grounds, yeah.
One thing Matt touched on in his post-match press conference, of course, was the fans. And he was quick to also point out, and he sort of almost apologetic in doing so, that he didn't mention the fans of MK Dons on Saturday. I think there were over 900 up there as well. So 900 at MK Dons, 1,400 at Craven Cottage. It's, you know, it's a great turnout from City fans.
Yeah, given how many away games we had recently, Cambridge, the previous Tuesday as well. It just shows. I mean, we were talking on the way back from Fulham about how well supported City are, particularly in the south. You know, London, we've always got traditionally a good following. Yeah. And yeah, Milton Keynes was almost a surprise in a way. I don't know, like I said, how many would have gone, you know, given the Paul Tisdale situation. But, you know, just looking back on the game, obviously it was a disappointing result and performance. Obviously, Stu, you were up there covering it. I mean, having watched the highlights, City really didn't help themselves, did they?
No, they didn't. I mean, that was a disappointing thing for me again. You know, we spoke earlier on about the Fulham game and the fact we didn't have a shot on target, and it was very much the same up at MK Dons. I just felt the first half was a complete non-event. It was almost as though both teams were almost too scared to sort of attack and have a go at each other, really. Could perhaps in hindsight have predicted that, really, knowing what we were going to come up against with Tiz. We always knew that Tiz was someone that liked to analyse the opposition before making these changes and what have you. So yeah, the first half was a bit of a write-off, really, and then early in the second half, it was just an inexplicable handball by Dean Moxey, really. Second yellow card, you can't have any complaints. Christie, to be fair, made an absolutely brilliant penalty save. And then, would you believe it, 10 minutes later, exactly the same thing happens again with Jaden Stockley, this time giving away the penalty, and this time Kieran Agard scored. And from there, you just never really saw a way back into the game for City. They sort of probed a little bit, and Matt made a few changes, both personnel and tactically. But, you know, we had a couple of half chances. Luke Rowell had a header in the last minute, which he perhaps should have done a bit better with, but, you know, that was as good as it got, really. It was a bit of a disappointing afternoon. Great to sort of see Tiz again, and, you know, I know the fans are very divided over Tiz. They either loved him or hated him. But, you know, I was really keen that the City fans showed appreciation and gratitude for what he'd done at City in 12 years. And, you know, I think he deserved that, and I think he got that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I wasn't at the game, but I did listen to the commentary, and I think the way you've summed up the game is exactly how it sounded as well. You know, clearly we were disappointing, and I think it's probably just a game that the club were just glad to get out of the way because of everything that had happened over the summer. And again, I guess we'll build up to it again in February when the Dons come down to St James Park as well. But disappointing that we didn't do better. But no, I think you're absolutely right. And Paul Tisdale's divided opinion for more than just the last two or three months. He's, yeah. You know, I've known fans that didn't like him when we were winning promotions and things like that, and didn't think he was good enough for us or not the right manager. So you're never going to win. I was personally disappointed that he left, but now, 3 months after the event, I think it was the right time for him to have gone. You know, and I'm very confident in the way that the club can go forward under Matt Taylor. I think he's doing a really good job, and difficult feat to follow, really, to step into, shoes to step into for him. But, you know, he's doing a decent job at it. And I think, you know, of course we're going to talk about Paul Tisdale. He's our most successful manager and he was there for 12 years. You don't just erase that history, do you? But, you know, we've got to look to the future now. But, no, you're absolutely right. He did an awful lot of good for the club as well, and just a shame that the way things worked out, and probably fault on both sides in the way it's been handled over the last 2 years leading up to it.
Yeah, I just think when you look at a manager's tenureship at a football club, you look at the starting point and the end point, and you look at Exeter City when Paul Tisdale came in, they were a non-league club. You know, we've missed out on the playoffs, and, you know, we were a big club in the conference back then as well, and, the facilities weren't as good as they are now, and... You know, I know we had the relegation back from League One, but he's established us, I think, as a sort of solid League Two club with a great infrastructure. Youth academies absolutely thriving. You have to excuse some of the background noise here, but in a coffee shop. But yeah, I just think everything that Tiz did at the football club has brought it into the, you know, 21st century, really.
I think he really put X on the map, didn't he? Not just in footballing terms, but...
In terms of... You know, what you get from Exeter City as a football club, you know, if you're a coach or a youngster coming to the football club, you're going to get an opportunity if you're a player, you're going to get an opportunity if you're a coach. It is a club that gives opportunities.
Yeah. And, you know, fans could talk about sort of loyalty, and some fans were saying that, you know, ludicrous things, that he didn't want Exeter to go up and things like that. But you have to remember all the clubs he was linked with over the years and clubs that he turned down. Obviously, you know, his interview for the Portsmouth job and didn't get that for whatever reason, but he's linked with so many jobs, like Swansea, Southampton, Oxford, Reading, but he stayed loyal to Exeter because he believed in the club, the project, you know, that he wanted the club to continue to progress, and, you know, with the youth academy as well, giving these young players a chance, and some of them have gone on to a championship or the Premier League. So yeah, I don't think anyone can begrudge what he's done for the club over the years. I suppose some people summed it up, you know, the end of Tisdale's reign as like a marriage, I suppose, going through a divorce, that it was probably best for both parties that he moved on. But yeah, I don't think anyone will, you know, forget what he's done for the club.
Did it feel like the right time for you to have that change?
I think so. You know, a lot might have depended on whether City went up in the playoff final, but I think as soon as, you know, full time hit at Wembley, I think it became clear for a lot of fans that it's probably the best time to move on. Whether he wanted it or not is another matter, but, you know, it had been quite a stale relationship between him and, you know, the fans and the board, who of course served notice on his contract just 2 years prior. So I think since then it was always going to be perhaps a matter of, you know, when, not if he would leave.
Yeah. We kind of need to bounce back though now, don't we? As we say, two games in succession now where we've not had any shots on target, which is probably a bit of a concern, really. Lincoln at home at St James's Park, they come down as league leaders, probably got something to prove as well after we beat them in the playoff semi-finals. And given the events that happened post-match, of course, which I don't think Lincoln were too happy about at the time. How do you see that one going? It's going to be tough, isn't it?
Yeah, I went to obviously the home playoff leg in the first home game of the season last season and the away one at Lincoln. And they're both really close contests, really physical. They're such a big physical team, Lincoln. Yeah. You know, they've got big players up front, Matt Reed, and you know, they'll get stuck into you, definitely. They'll, you know, Troy Brown, Aaron Martin will probably get a few bruises come Saturday afternoon, as will Jaden Stockley probably, as he's used to. But they're such a difficult team to play, and really like what Danny Carley's done there. You know, he's taken them up from the conference, and they obviously had that great FA Cup run a couple of years ago, and it got to the quarterfinals, and you know, got to the playoffs last year, of course. So yeah, they're going to be full of confidence. I know they got thrashed by Blackburn in the League Cup, but I don't think they'll probably read too much into that, as neither should Exeter. So yeah, I'm expecting a really, really tough physical contest, and you know, Exeter have been sort of struggling for goals, as you said lately. You know, after that promising start against Carlisle, when you know 3-1, and it could have easily been a lot more. You know, struggled to kill Newport off. You know, didn't take their chances, and obviously drawing a blank against MK Dons as well. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, City bounce back from Fulham, what sort of team Taylor will play. Like I said, I think he's given a few more headaches now, given how well the young players have been doing, Archie Collins and Jack Sparks. But yeah, it's going to be a real tough test on Saturday.
And when you look at Lincoln as well, Bargy, they've recruited well, haven't they, over the summer? They've brought some, you know, sort of good, solid, quality League Two players.
Yeah, they have. And you know, obviously the main one for me is John Akinde. I've liked him ever since he was at Gravesend and Norfolk. You and I were talking about him all those years back back in the conference when he was just a raw teenager, and he's impressed me every time I've seen him, really. And just a surprise that his career hasn't gone further, to be honest. I know he had that opportunity at Bristol City which didn't really work out for him, but on his day he's unplayable at this level. So hopefully he has a bit of an off day. And I don't think there'll be too many surprises in the Exeter City lineup. I'm sure that most of the players which didn't play tonight will come back in to the team. And it's just a question of who's going to partner Stockley up front, really, for me. And, you know, whether we can start to see the ability of people like Lee Martin, who's not really impressed me. He's not done too much since he's come into the club. Lee Holmes, can he have a bit more of an influence than what he did against Fulham as well, you know, those kind of players? Because to be fair to Matt Taylor, he has said he wants to play entertaining football. He wants to entertain the fans.
He wants runners in the team.
Absolutely. And you know, and he's doing that, going back to sort of an old fashioned 4-4-2, if you like, which isn't very popular at the moment in terms of football formations. But he said, no, that's what I want to do. Two out and out wingers, two central midfielders, and you know, and a solid defensive lineup. And fair play to him for that, and I think that the fans appreciate that as well, because although we were an awful lot better at St James Park last season than what we'd seen for the previous sort of 2, 3, 4 seasons, you know, that's what fans want to go and see at home. They want to see entertaining football. And like I say, even though we were a lot better last season, some of our wins were pretty ugly 1-0s, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. You make an interesting point there about the strike force and who's going to partner Jaden. I also think there's a bit of an issue in midfield as well, because we obviously have three players at the moment in Hiram, Jake Taylor and Nicky Law that obviously like to play in the middle of the pitch, and it just seems to be a bit of an issue at the moment with Matt as to getting that chemistry right. I mean, you know, all season so far we've seen either Boateng or Law play on the left, even where MK Dons, when he switched it in the second half, Jake played out on the right again in the second half, and Boateng played, you know, more centrally alongside Law again. How do you think he solves that problem? I mean, you know, you kind of want all three in the team, really, because they are three of your best players, but how do you fit them into a team? Because it's hard to get it into a 4-4-2, isn't it?
No, absolutely. For me, I mean, I always think of Jake Taylor as being a wide player anyway. I understand that he's the captain, and you know, Matt probably wants him to be more involved central to the play, if you like. So then the tendency is to sort of think, well, play him more in the central midfield role, or maybe just in behind one striker or two strikers as an attacking midfielder. For me personally, I would probably play Jake out on the right hand side and probably persevere with Lee Holmes on the left, and then in the middle my first choice would be Boateng and Nicky Law. That's what I would
Yeah, that's for. A pretty good shout. Jamie, would you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of Hiram Boateng. I thought he was absolutely brilliant last season, and I said before, Al Kibbe, City's best signing, was keeping hold of him.
I thought he so showed some good touches up at Fulham as well.
Yeah, and you know, when he came on, he played in the middle, which is where he's best suited. So I hope Taylor doesn't persist with him playing on the left, because you know, we can tell he's not really used to it or adapted to it well. So yeah, it is a bit of a selection dilemma because I think Jordan Tilson's done all right this season. He's, you know, he can go perhaps unnoticed by some people, but he gets stuck in. He makes some really crucial tackles and interceptions. You know, Nicky Law started really well, also right in the middle. So yeah, I agree. I think, you know, I prefer to see Taylor out on the right. I think he's more effective, but you know, obviously Matt Taylor, when he appointed him as captain, he made it clear he wants him to be a lot more central. So hopefully, you know, he goes back to, you know, how it was sort of last season with Boateng and Tilson in the middle, Nicky Law, because I think they're a lot more effective, and you know, it obviously gives more options on the wings with Lee Holmes and Lee Martin, of course, as well. So yeah, it's a difficult one. And against Lincoln, you know, you really want to dominate that midfield because it's going to be such a big physical midfield, and you want your best players in there. And,
can you go 4-3-3?
Possibly. You know, you've got Stockley and Tristan and perhaps Lee Holmes on either. It gives them a lot more attacking purpose. Don't know if it would suit someone like Jordan Tilson more, though, because he's a bit more defence-minded. So perhaps he comes out of the team for Nicky Law, but certainly an option. Because obviously we saw it last year with Lloyd James playing out on the right wing. It just really didn't work. He was such a central midfield player, and I don't know why Tisdale sort of persisted with it, really. And so hopefully I would like to see Boateng play central.
Just quickly then, I'm finishing off with Lincoln. As you say, Bargy, who plays up front with Jaden is going to be a bit of an issue. Who do you think will be his strike partner on Saturday?
I really don't know, to be honest, at the moment.
No one's really put themselves forward, are they?
Nobody's sort of like saying, yeah, this spot should be mine. Absolutely not. I've been very impressed with Jonathan Fort since he's come in, and that is a blow that he's going to be out for, what, two or three weeks, possibly. I guess he's going to have to either go with Abrahams or Matt Jay, really, unless he sort of decides that he's going to do like Tiz did last season and play sort of Jaden up there by himself up top and try and sort of fill in the gaps in between and have the likes of push Jake Taylor in or Lee Holmes, someone like that, in behind him as well and just try and pick up the pieces. But I don't know, it's a big call for him, I think, on Saturday as to who he does go with.
Yeah. Another option, I suppose, is to play Lee Martin. Matt said before that he sees Lee as a sort of second striker playing off that main front man, so that's another option for him.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, he's been quite quiet so far in his City career. I mean, he's obviously coming in with a few injury issues, so they've had to sort of be patient with him, sort of leading him into the team. But as long as he plays someone up front for Stockley, because I think we saw it last season on a few occasions, it just didn't really work when Stockley was up front on the zone and he'd win the flick-ons and no one was making the runs, no one was in sort of 5 or 10 yards of him, so he needs that runner. Despite his poor performance tonight, I think he'll stick with Tristan Abrahams because, you know, he has shown some promise. Like when he came on against Carlisle, I thought he was brilliant. He just ran at the defence and scored a really good goal as well. So yeah, I wouldn't be too surprised if he sticks with him. Matt Jay, I thought, did all right actually on Fulham. He made quite a lot of runs. You know, had that shot against the post. He's quite frustrating to watch at times because he runs, he tries his hardest, but unfortunately, he just can't get that goal. His first senior goal, which, you know, I'm sure will come hopefully because he had a good pre-season. So yeah, one of Jay Abrahams, I think.
I mean, we saw it last season with Kyle Edwards, didn't we? You know, when he came off the bench, he had real impact as a substitute. When he started games, we didn't have the same impact on games. And, you know, on the evidence of what we've seen so far, it's the same with Tristan Abrahams, really. You know, he came off the bench, as you say, against Carlisle. Really good 20 minutes or so against them. A couple of decent cameos since, but started up at Fulham and wasn't really effective at all.
No, he was disappointing against Fulham, and I guess as a striker, you come on sort of after 70 minutes, you're up against a tiring defence, and you're full of energy, you want to prove yourself, and you know, you know that you're probably going to get opportunities as well because of that tiring opposition. And you know, he took his goal very, very well. But and he's still a young lad as well. You know, let's not forget he's still learning his game. There's a reason why he's down here for a season, and that's because Norwich want him to get some game time and to learn his craft. And I'm sure, you know, that it'll be a good experience for him to be down here. But of course, as all strikers, it doesn't matter what type of striker you are, you get judged on your goals. And that is, for me, a concern. I think we are a little bit light in the squad at the moment. Even before injuries, I went into the season sort of thinking, I think we could probably do with another striker or wide man in the squad. And for me at the moment, that's what's being borne out.
Yeah, well, that brings us nicely on to the transfer window then. Obviously, the window for loan signings shuts on Friday. Matt's been quite public in stating that he wants another player to come in. Speaking to him after the game up at MK Dons, he did say that the club don't want to invest too much money in the loan signing because it can block the pathway of youngsters coming through. And, you know, we saw up at Fulham, Jack Sparks, Archie Collins, who I thought was fantastic up at Fulham. He's obviously got those two in mind. Alex Hartridge on the bench as well. So they're the three that seem to be coming through at the moment. But I agree with you, Bargy. I think you need another striker.
Well, I mean, he did actually push Archie Collins up front, didn't he?
Yeah.
In the second half.
I don't know if that was more to do with the fact he was on a yellow card and he was...
Possibly, yeah.
Just and a missed time tackle.
You know, he showed some nice touches. He's a feisty little character, isn't he?
Got stuck in, didn't he?
Yeah, he absolutely did get stuck in. Even when he was on a yellow card, he was still putting himself about and wanting to get the ball and try and drive the team forward, which I really liked. Whether he can play a more advanced role, I'm not sure at the moment, and it'd be a huge responsibility for him to sort of suddenly thrust him as a naturally central midfield player into more of an attacking role as well. So, yeah, and Alex Hartridge, I mean, he's a left back, but I saw him last season in the under-23s, and he impressed me, particularly in the game against Hull City, where I thought he did really well, and I think he's got a bright future as well. But it is just up top that concerns me at the moment. I think we've got enough defensively and in midfield, albeit what's the best permutations, but so I'm not too concerned about that. But yeah, it's a striker role.
Another centre forward. Mm. Do you think he'll bring a wide man in? I mean, it sounded as though he was looking to bring a winger in.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're sort of covered in that department. Obviously, brought in Lee Martin, and you know, you've got Abrahams, who can play sort of out wing as well, because Taylor said he wants someone that can take on defenders, and that's what Abrahams has shown already.
And then you've got Sparks coming through as well, so there's options there.
I mean, I would like to see another, you know, full-out striker come in, and perhaps someone that's not necessarily a target man like Stockwell, but someone who has, you know, a bit bigger presence. Because, you know, you've got Jay and Abrahams are quite, you know, lightweight, and Jonathan Forty's very quick as well, and I think he's more for his sort of pace, which we he's shown against Newport. So maybe bring in someone like Stockley, because you know, we saw it at Fulham on Tuesday, albeit it was a cup game. You know, we just missed that aerial presence, because you know, you're playing long balls up to Matt Jay, and he's not going to win many headers.
And even when the crosses were coming in, you know, the crosses were coming in, and Matt Jay's not going to win a header.
And it's just him in the box. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're asking a lot from him. So the game was sort of crying out for Stockley. I know he said, you know, perhaps didn't want to risk him, but it was crying out for someone that can win those headers. And
at 1-0, I think he might have made that change, but I think 2-0, perhaps the game would go.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. So yeah, you just need someone to be in the box to win those headers, and unfortunately, apart from Stockley, don't really have that. So maybe we're looking at another sort of target man, who knows.
Yeah. Right, well, that's all we have time for this week. Jamie, Bargy, thank you ever so much for coming on the show. We'll be back again with more of the same next week, and hopefully talk about three crucial points against Lincoln at the weekend. Bye-bye.